Welcome to Talk Nation Radio, a half-hour discussion on politics, human rights, and the environment. I'm your host, Dori Smith, and today's show is produced by John Schwenk. And in this program, he interviews architect Richard Gage, who will visit the state of Connecticut to join engineers, journalists, academics, and others for a major event about 9/11 to be held March 26th. They're asking what really happened to Building 7. The program will kick off a new internet and TV awareness campaign calling for a fresh investigation into what happened to Building 7, which was not hit by a plane on 9/11 but came down anyway. Talk Nation Radio producer John Schwenk.
I'm speaking with Richard Gage, founder of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. Richard Gage, welcome to Talk Nation Radio.
Thank you, John. It's my honor to be here with you.
Can you give us a brief rundown of your education and professional experience?
I have a degree in architecture from the University of Southern California. I've been an architect practicing for over 20 years.
So what is Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth seeking?
I represent over 1,460 now architects and engineers. We're unanimous in calling for a truly independent investigation into the destruction of all three World Trade Center high-rise towers on 9/11.
But don't we already have a whole bunch of huge investigations of these topics? I mean, why do we need another one?
We have to have another investigation because the first one did not even deal with at least half of the critical key forensic evidence. It manipulated the data in order to show that, or attempt to show, that these three buildings came down as a result of fire. In the case of the Twin Towers, of course, jet plane impacts as well. But most people don't know anything about the third skyscraper to collapse on that day, World Trade Center Building 7. This is a 47-story skyscraper that's about a football field in length away from the Twin Towers, and on 9/11, it suffered a complete catastrophic total collapse, straight down, uniformly, symmetrically, into its own footprint almost, and at free fall acceleration. In other words, it had all the features of a classic controlled explosive demolition, and you can see this building dropping like a rock straight down. On our website, ae911truth.org, it's really quite unbelievable to see this building come down and then to understand that the government agency, NIST, the National Institute of Standards and Technology, claims that this building came down due to normal office fires, because we show on our website that those office fires are really quite scattered and small and can't have been responsible for this building. I mean, the official story, which took 7 years to put together for the explanation of the cause of this building by fire, they say it's a new phenomena where beams expanded as a result of these fires. Well, there's so many problems with this story, first of all, that the building is fireproof. Those beams are not going to be expanding like that. The fires were out in the area of the initiation of collapse over an hour before the building collapsed. So the photos show and pull the rug out from underneath NIST's claim.
They did run computer simulations, which they claim took like 9 months to run on their computers. And they have a number of diagrams in their 1,000-page report on the collapse of the building. And it does show some twisting, and it shows kind of sloughing of one side. And there's a good deal of asymmetry to the collapse that they show, which one would expect, certainly, given the asymmetric nature of the building and of the fires and of the damage done to the building by the collapse of buildings 1 and 2. But is that what we observe?
No. In fact, the videos show something completely different. The building goes virtually straight down, and it goes as fast as a bowling ball would drop off the top of the building. Now, the bowling ball hits the ground in about six and a half seconds, maybe 6 seconds. And it resist it. That's how it can drop so fast. There's nothing but air under it. But the building drops at that same rate for about 8 stories. It is completely unresisted by any of the columns in the building. 40,000 tons of structure designed to resist this building for its life. In fact, it's 5 times stronger than it needs to be in order to do that job. But all of a sudden, every column on every floor for 8 floors is failing in a synchronistically timed precision. Now, can fire accomplish that? No, of course not, especially fires that are small and scattered. And this is why every architect knows that there's something really wrong with the official story here. This is a manipulation. Most architects, in fact, and engineers don't even know about this building's collapse. They weren't told, and yet it's the 3rd worst structural failure in modern history. This is fascinating to architects when they become aware of this.
Now, the NIST report, the National Institute of Standards and Technology's report, does deal with the speed of the collapse of the building, and they do on their questions and answers page on the web. They explain how they feel the building appeared to symmetrically collapse, but you're not satisfied by their explanations.
No. They go to great lengths to try to justify this, but in order for a symmetrical collapse to occur, all 80 columns have to be cut, and in fact within a tenth of a second of each other, or removed. And the fire is traveling, on the contrary, around the building. Every 20 minutes or so, fire will burn out an area because there's no more fuel, leaving that area to cool, and it looks for fresh new fuel sources. So if there was a collapse, we would expect it to fall over toward the path of least resistance. It would always fall asymmetrically. That's just the process. I mean,
but their
chaotic process.
But their computer model does show it coming down, pretty much straight down, even if not entirely symmetrically.
Well, it crumples, it folds, and it tips over, actually. They will only show us the first 2 seconds of this collapse. They do not show anything after that. Why? Because the building in their computer model, even, which they can't even manipulate to collapse in any manner similar to the videos, it begins to tip over itself. Watch it carefully. That's what you'll see. And to the contrary, also, there's been over 100 fairly serious fires in high-rises, and not one of them has ever collapsed due to fire.
They do acknowledge that.
Yeah, I mean, this is really important. While acknowledging it and giving it lip service, they do not acknowledge that there hasn't even been any kind of a progressive collapse. They call Building 7 a classic progressive collapse, and yet it's never occurred in a high-rise building where one initiating event in a structure of failure causes the systematic failure of the rest of the structural members and connections to fail one after another at a rate, at any rate, much less at a rate that must have had to have happened in Building 7, which is 400 structural steel connections failing every second in order to bring this down systematically like a house of cards in just 6.5 seconds. It's absolutely unbelievable.
I'm speaking with Richard Gage, architect and founder of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, on the web at ae911truth.org. And we're talking about the collapse of World Trade Center Building 7 on 9/11/2001. This was the 3rd building to collapse on that day. It collapsed later in the afternoon. It was never hit by an airplane. It was a 47-story building, which would have been the tallest building in 33 states, but given the location, it's almost virtually been ignored since that day. And there is a conference upcoming in Hartford at the University of Hartford on March 26th, 2011. to focus precisely on the collapse of this building, and Richard Gage will be there to give a presentation. Videos and audios of the presentations at this conference should be available on the web afterwards. Now, Richard, we had been speaking about the National Institute of Standards and Technology report on the collapse of Building 7. You and your organization submitted comments on the draft report back in the end of 2008. What were your problems with that draft report and on the comment process itself?
Well, the draft report, there's a number of problems. One of them is that NIST did not even acknowledge the fact that the building came down at freefall acceleration. They manipulated the fall sequences into a series of numbers that added up to be about twice or three times the actual collapse of the overall perimeter of the building, which was 6.5 seconds. NIST also doesn't acknowledge some of the key forensic evidence that was produced by FEMA, the first report that came out in May of 2002, Building Performance Assessment Team report, which had an Appendix C, which documented the one piece of steel that was saved from Building 7, the rest being systematically destroyed in an unprecedented quick shipment of all of this forensic evidence, structural steel in the building, to China for recycling. Against the screams of the fire engineering community, like Bill Manning, the fire engineering editor, who said the destruction and removal of evidence must stop immediately, and cited that the first investigation was fraud. And so the New York Times called this evidence produced by FEMA in this Appendix C, this analysis of the one piece of steel that they did analyze, they called it the deepest mystery of all. Why? Because we have molten iron attacking the grain boundaries of the steel. This steel was completely corroded and melted, and they said it was with hot sulfur corrosion attack, with intergranular melting, rapid oxidation, sulfidation.
What does all that mean?
Hot sulfur somehow attacked the steel with molten iron. Exactly. What does that mean? Well, one explanation for such a thing would be a thermite or thermate attack. Now, thermite is an incendiary used by the military to cut through steel like a hot knife through butter. And it's composed of iron oxide and aluminum powder. And when you add sulfur to it, it becomes thermate, and it becomes much more effective. It's quicker. It lowers the melting point of the steel that it's attacking, and it explains exactly what FEMA found in the one piece of steel that was analyzed. And why was the rest destroyed? Did it have the same material evidence in it? This is a critical point of investigation, and yet NIST excluded this from their final report. So this is absolutely inexcusable. So we were calling for NIST to reinvestigate, and we want NIST, in fact, reinvestigated as well. There's no excuse for any number of manipulations that we haven't got time to go into today.
You're going to be appearing at this conference at the University of Hartford on March 26, 2011. What is your role going to be there?
Oh, I will be speaking in the evening on Saturday. I'll be representing our 1,460 architects and engineers. I'll be presenting the evidence for the explosive demolition of Building 7, some of which we've covered, some of which we haven't, including the evidence of foreknowledge of this building's destruction. There are policemen and mysterious construction workers, for instance, caught on CNN television walking away from the building, admonishing reporters and others to get back. The building's going to blow up, they're saying. Flame and debris coming down. This is extraordinary because how do they know? I mean, this building has a few isolated fires. The firemen were ordered not to put out the fires. They're scratching their heads wondering why we're not going up there.
The NIST report says that the water mains were broken by the collapse of the towers and there wasn't any water to put out the fires.
The NIST says the lower floors didn't have mains to put out the fires. The upper floors did. So they should have been in the building putting out the rest of the fires.
It is remarkable that there was no loss of life in the collapse of this building. Absolutely no one died. There was no one in the building when it collapsed, apparently, because there were no firefighters working on it at all. Here's a 47-story building in Lower Manhattan that's burning. No building has ever collapsed before as a result of fire. No building like this.
No high-rise building.
And yet, they're not trying to put it out.
Yeah, well, they were told that there was some structural damage in the building, and they were concerned about the safety of the firefighters and clearing a path. This would not explain the behavior of the building as it was destroyed. If there was structural damage in the building, one would expect the building to fall toward that structural damage. In fact, it doesn't. The final report does not talk about structural damage in the building as a result of beams and so forth hitting it that came from the collapse of the Twin Towers, which was really a very, very explosive destruction, which we haven't touched on yet. But NIST says no, the structural damage was insignificant component to the collapse of World Trade Center 7. They also say that the diesel fuel, which was in the building, was not a factor also.
The NIST report says that the fire alone was capable of collapsing this building.
Normal office fires, they called them. The key set of components in this collapse initiation, as they describe it, are first the expansion of these 50-foot beams in this new phenomenon never before seen in high-rise construction, where they expanded, but in their computer model, they do share some of the input data, but not all of it. And in a Freedom of Information request, architects and engineers and others have asked for the answer that we get back as to why we cannot have the computer model, the black box that they use to justify their new theory, collapse by normal office fires. The answer is that it would jeopardize public safety. Well, of course, the reverse is true. It jeopardizes public safety to withhold this valuable information from architects and engineers who are tasked with saving these buildings and their occupants from free-falling collapses in 6.5 seconds.
Why is it important to get that information for them to share their computer model and their input data?
We engineer buildings with safety in mind. If there was some problem in this building that caused its collapse, and this has the answer to that problem, why are they withholding the answer? So this information has to be revealed.
Well, they've given you their answer. They're just not giving you all of the methods and processes that went into coming up with that answer.
Yeah, that's the real answer that architects and engineers are interested in. But that's being withheld, and it is absolutely illegal. So we'll be pursuing means of getting that information.
So, Richard Gage, are we to believe then that the individuals named as authors on the National Institute of Standards and Technology report on Building 7 are members of a conspiracy to cover up what really happened, that it was blown up?
Well, let's put it this way. We're calling upon the Attorney General of the United States to impanel a federal grand jury investigation of Shyam Sunder, lead investigator of the NIST report, and his associate, John Gross, the co-project leader.
So do you believe it's conscious fraud on their part?
I don't see how it could be otherwise. There are far too many mistakes, errors, manipulation, negligence in order for this to... These are very bright structural engineers. This can't happen by accident.
Now, few of us are qualified to evaluate this material, let alone have the time to go through the 1,000 pages of the report and your very extensive website at ae911truth.org. So on the one hand, we have a large federal government agency that spent years producing 1,000 pages of analysis using sophisticated computer models to determine that fires alone caused the collapse of World Trade Center Building 7. On the other hand, we have what would appear to be a small band of independent researchers who dispute this report and advance an alternative theory. How are we lay people to decide, and why should we choose you? On the face of it, it seems kind of silly.
It's actually quite easy to understand what's going on with this building. All people have to do is watch it go down, and their own intuition will assist them. You don't have to be an architect or engineer to understand what's going on here. Watching the video of the building going down, you can do it right now on our website, which is ae911truth.org. You'll see the building going down in 6.5 seconds. And fires have never brought down a steel frame sky or a concrete frame skyscraper. And the evidence found in the debris pile by the first responders, who say there was molten steel running like lava, structural engineers find it, the iron workers find it also, dozens of reports, photos. It's very clear how the evidence all lines up and supports the hypothesis of explosive destruction, and how none of the evidence supports the theory or hypothesis of a collapse by fire.
Now, Richard Gage, if all you say is true and the 9/11 event was all a giant conspiracy, wouldn't that make you a very dangerous man in the view of these conspirators? And have you ever experienced any threats or indications that you're a target?
Well, you made the leap to calling this a conspiracy. All we're calling it is a fraudulent investigation at this point, and which is why we're calling for a truly independent investigation with subpoena power, testimony taken under oath, immunity offered, all of the tools that make investigations real, using the scientific method, examining all of the evidence, including molten iron found under the debris pile, evidence from the witnesses, that is, hearing explosions at the onset of the destruction of this building. So I have no interest in speculating who might have been responsible. I'm not a researcher or an investigator. I'm an architect, and I'm saying, along with 1,400 other architects and engineers, that we've got to have a new investigation. Somebody else can speculate.
Granted, but you do assert that there were explosives or thermite materials planted in the buildings to take them down, and that seems to me to require a conspiracy, and also that the National Institute of Standards and Technology report itself was fraudulent. Those things must be linked, therefore. I mean, this naturally implies a conspiracy.
I don't disagree with that. It appears like it was some sort of an inside operation. I mean, we don't necessarily believe, even if it was Al-Qaeda, you're right, it would be a conspiracy. But we don't believe, it's not rational to presume that Al-Qaeda had access to this very highly secure building, which housed the IRS, the CIA, the Department of Defense, several very prestigious financial institutions, Mayor Giuliani's Office of Emergency Management. Yeah, so this is all the more reason for a real investigation. A real investigation can uncover the depth and breadth of such a conspiracy.
Is there anything else you'd like to say to our listeners?
I would like to encourage everyone to come and see this evidence in more detail at the venue. And when you're satisfied that this is real, to join the millions of Americans who are calling for a new investigation. This is much larger than 1,400 architects and engineers. And there are people speaking all around the country, and the media is not picking up this story, which is why you may not have heard it before. Thank God for stations such as this one who have the courage to air this critical information for the American people.
I've been speaking with Richard Gage, architect and founder of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. Mr. Gage will be appearing, along with a dozen other notables of the 9/11 Truth movement, at the University of Hartford on Saturday, March 26, 2011, as part of an all-day conference called Investigate Building 7, a call to re-examine the most important event of our time. Audio and video from that conference will be made available on the web. For more information, go to investigatebuilding7.org. That's numeral 7. For more information from Richard Gage and his organization, see ae911truth.org. We'll also have links at talknationradio.org. For Talk Nation Radio, I'm John Schwenk.
Finally, Professor Mazen Kumsaya of Bethlehem and Beerzeit Universities in Palestine spoke at the UConn Co-op Bookstore at the University of Connecticut March 23rd, where he read from his new book, Popular Resistance in Palestine, where he was recently arrested along with others for protests against the separation wall, the Israeli occupation, and new illegal settlement building by Israel. We were able to ask him a question about his response to new violence in the Middle East and the U.S. role in Libya. Professor Kumsaya, we've heard the Secretary of State Hillary Clinton say that the cruise missiles and tomahawks landing in Libya are going to convince those around Muammar Gaddafi to leave him and support the resistance, or at least stop fighting the resistance. Can you speak to that as it relates to what you're seeing about new violence in Libya and also in the Middle East recently?
Yeah, I mean, as a person who believes in nonviolence, I think all violence is abhorrent and all violence leads to just more violence and does not solve anything. That's just a statement of principle ahead of my answer. But what is happening is showing the hypocrisy of the U.S. Because the notion, the resolution that was pushed in the United Nations Security Council to authorize the U.S. and its allies to bomb or to do whatever, no-fly zone over Libya, was based on what? It was based on the notion that Gaddafi is attacking his own people, right? That he is massacring civilians, killing civilians. Well, Bahrain king is attacking his own people and killing his own people with the same ferocity, by the way, with the same ferocity, maybe even worse. In Yemen, the same thing. The Yemeni dictator is attacking his own people. But the Yemeni dictator and the Bahraini king, dictator also, are Western supported. They are U.S. puppets. So for those, we don't care. They can do whatever they want to. And this is the hypocrisy of U.S. foreign policy in the Middle East. They even authorized the U.S. government. This is incredible. The State Department authorized the Saudi forces to enter Bahrain to prop up the king of Bahrain. In other words, they allowed an invasion by a foreign army, Saudi army, to invade Bahrain to what? To kill Bahraini people. Why? Well, because their dictator is more friendly to Israel and to the U.S. You see, this is the stupidity and the hypocrisy of U.S. foreign policy. And it's so obvious to most people in the Middle East. And I don't think the Libyan opposition is... I saw a big sign in Benghazi that says, no to Gaddafi, no to foreign intervention. It's clear what the Libyans are saying.
Talk Nation Radio is produced in Storrs, Connecticut, and syndicated with Pacifica Network. Audio transcripts and discussions at talknationradio.org. Our music is by Fritz Heed.